اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم، حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام، وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء وذل لها كل شيء، وبجبروتك التي غلبت بها كل شيء، وبعزتك التي لا يقوم لها شيء، وبعظمتك التي ملأت كل شيء، وبسلطانك الذي على كل شيء، وبوجهك الباقي بعد فناء كل شيء، وبأسمائك التي ملأت أركان كل شيء، وبعلمك الذي أحاط بكل شيء، وبنور وجهك الذي أضاء له كل شيء، يا نور يا قدوس، يا نور يا قدوس، يا نور يا قدوس، يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تهتك العصام، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقام، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تغير النعام، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء، اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطيئة أخطأتها. اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك، وأسألك بجودك أن تدنيني من قربك، وأن توزعني شكرك، وأن تلهمني ذكرك. اللهم إني أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا وفي جميع الأحوال متواضعا. اللهم وأسألك سؤال من اشتدت فاقته وأنزل بك عند الشدائد حاجته وعظم فيما عندك رغبته. اللهم عظم سلطانك وعلى مكانك وخفي مكرمك وظهر أمرك وغلب قهرك وجرت قدرتك ولا يمكن الفرار من حكومتك. اللهم لا أجد لذنوبي غافرا ولا لقبائحي ساترا ولا لشيء من عملي القبيح بالحسن مبدلا غيرك. لا إله إلا أنت، سبحانك وبحمدك، ظلمت نفسي، ظلمت نفسي، ظلمت نفسي، وتجرأت بجهلي وسكنت إلى قديم ذكرك لي ومنك علي. اللهم مولاي، كم من قبيح سترته وكم من فاضح من البلاء أقلته وكم من عثار وقيته وكم من مكروه دفعته وكم من ثناء جميل لست أهلا له نشرت. اللهم عظم بلائي وأفرط بي سوء حالي وقصرت بي أعمالي وقعدت بي أغلالي وحبسني عن نفعي بعد أملي وخدعتني الدنيا بغرورها ونفسي بجنايتها ومطالي. يا سيدي، فأسألك بعزتك لا يحجب عنك دعائي سوء عملي وفعالي، ولا تفضحني بخفي ما اطلعت عليه من سري، ولا تعاجلني بالعقوبة على ما عملته في خلواتي من سوء فعلي وإساءتي ودوام تفريطي وجهالتي وكثرة شهواتي وغفلتي. وكن اللهم بعزتك لي في كل الأحوال رؤوفا وعلي في جميع الأمور عطوفا. إلهي وربي من لي غيرك، أسأله كشف ضري والنظر في أمري. إلهي ومولاي، أجريت علي حكما اتبعت فيه هوى نفسي ولم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدوي، فغرني بما أهوى وأسعده على ذلك القضاء، فتجاوزت بما جرى علي من ذلك بعض حدودك وخالفت بعض أوامرك، فلك الحمد علي في جميع ذلك، ولا حجة لي فيما جرى علي في قضاءك، وألزمني حكمك وبلاؤك. وقد أتيتك يا إلهي بعد تقصيري وإسرافي على نفسي معتذرا نادما منكسرا مستقيلا مستغفرا منيبا مقراً مذعناً معترفاً لا أجد مفراً مما كان مني ولا مفزعاً أتوجه إليه في أمري غير قبولك عذري وإدخالك إياي في سعة رحمتك. اللهم فاقبل عذري وارحم شدة ضري وفكني من شد وثاقي. يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني ورقة جلدي ودقة عظمي. يا من بدأ خلقي وذكري وتربيته وبرني وتغذيته، هبني لابتداء كرمك وسالف برك بي يا إلهي وسيدي وربي. أتراك معذبي بنارك بعد توحيدك وبعد من طوى عليه قلبي من معرفتك ولهج به لساني من ذكرك واعتقده ضميري من حبك، وبعد صدق اعترافي ودعائي خاضعا لربوبيتك، هيهات أنت أكرم من أن تضيع من ربيت أو تبعد من أدنيت أو تشرد من آويت أو تسلم إلى البلاء من كفيته ورحمته. وليت شعري يا سيدي وإلهي ومولاي أتسلط النار على وجوه خرت لعظمتك ساجدا وعلى ألسن نطقت بتوحيدك صادقة وبشكرك مادحة وعلى قلوب اعترفت بإلهيتك محققة وعلى ضمائر حوت من العلم بك حتى صارت خاشعة، وعلى جوارح سعت إلى أوطان تعبدك طائعة، وأشارت باستغفارك مذعنا. ما كذا الظن بك ولا أخبرنا بفضلك عنك يا كريم يا رب، وأنت تعلم ضعفي عن قليل من بلاء الدنيا وعقوباتها وما يجري فيها من المكاره على أهلها، على أن ذلك بلاء ومكروه، قليل مكثور، يسير بقاء، قصير مدة، فكيف احتمالي لبلاء الآخرة وجليل وقوع المكاره فيها وهو بلاء تطول مدته ويدوم مقامه ولا يخفف عن أهله، لأنه لا يكون إلا عن غضبك وانتقامك وسخطك، وهذا ما لا تقوم له السماوات والأرض يا سيدي، فكيف لي وأنا عبدك الضعيف الذليل الحقير المسكين المستكين؟ يا إلهي وربي وسيدي ومولاي، لأي الأمور إليك أشكو ولما منها أضج وأبكي؟ لأليم العذاب وشدته أم لطول البلاء ومدته؟ فلئن صيرتني للعقوبات مع أعدائك وجمعت بيني وبين أهل بلائك وفرقت بيني وبين أحبائك وأوليائك، فهبني يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي وربي، صبرت على عذابك فكيف أصبر على فراقك؟ وهبني صبرت على حر نارك فكيف أصبر عن النظر إلى كرامتك؟ أم كيف أسكن في النار ورجائي عفوك؟ فبعزتك يا سيدي ومولاي أقسم صادقا، لئن تركتني ناطقا لأضجن إليك بين أهل هذا ضجيج الآملين، ولأصرخن إليك صراخ المستصرخين، ولأبكين عليك بكاء الفاقدين، ولأنادينك أين كنت يا ولي المؤمنين يا غاية آمال العارفين يا غياث المستغيثين يا غياث المستغيثين يا غياث المستغيثين يا حبيب قلوب الصادقين ويا إله العالمين. أفتراك سبحانك يا إلهي وبحمدك تسمع فيها صوت عبد مسلم سجنا فيها بمخالفته وذاق طعم عذابها بمعصيته وحبس بين أطباقها بجرمه وجريرته، وهو يضج إليك ضجيج مؤمل لرحمتك ويناديك بلسان أهل توحيدك، ويتوسل إليك بربوبيتك يا مولاي، فكيف يبقى في العذاب وهو يرجو ما سلف من حلمك؟ أم كيف تؤلمه النار وهو يأمل فضلك ورحمتك؟ أم كيف يحرقه لهيبها وأنت تسمع صوته وترى مكانه؟ أم كيف يشتمل عليه زفيرها وأنت تعلم ضعفه؟ أم كيف يتقلقل بين أطباقها وأنت تعلم صدقه؟ أم كيف تزجره زبانيتها وهو يناديك يا رب؟ أم كيف يرجو فضلك في عتقه منها فتتركه فيها؟ هيهات، ما ذلك الظن بك، ولا المعروف من فضلك، ولا مشبه لما عاملت به الموحدين من برك وإحسانك. فباليقين أقطع، لولا ما حكمت به من تعذيب جاحديك وقضيت به من إخلاد معانديك، لجعلت النار كلها بردا وسلاما، وما كان لأحد فيها مقرا ولا مقاما. لكنك تقدست أسماؤك، أقسمت أن تملأها من الكافرين من الجنة والناس أجمعين، وأن تخلد فيها المعاندين، وأنت جل ثناؤك قلت مبتدئا وتطولت بالإنعام متكرما. أفمن كان مؤمنا كمن كان فاسقا لا يستوون؟ إلهي وسيدي، فأسألك بالقدرة التي قدرتها وبالقضية التي حتمتها وحكمتها وغلبت من عليه أجريتها، أن تهب لي في هذه الليلة وفي هذه الساعة كل جرم أجرمته وكل ذنب أذنبته وكل قبيح أسررته وكل جهل عملته، كتمته أو أعلنته، أخفيته أو أظهرته، وكل سيئة أمرت بإثباتها الكرام الكاتبين الذين وكلتهم بحفظ ما يكون مني، وجعلتهم شهودا علي مع جوارحي، وكنت أنت الرقيب علي من ورائهم والشاهد لما خفي عنهم، وبرحمتك أخفيت وبفضلك سترت، وأن توفر حظي من كل خير أنزلت أو إحسان فضلت أو بر نشرت أو رزق بسطت أو ذنب تغفره أو خطأ تستره. يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب. يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي يا من بيده ناصيتي يا عليما بضري ومسكنتي يا خبيرا بفقري وفاقتي يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب أسألك بحقك وقدسك وأعظم صفاتك وأسمائك أن تجعل أوقاتي من الليل والنهار بذكرك معمورا وبخدمتك موصولا وأعمالي عندك مقبولة حتى تكون أعمالي وأورادي كلها وردا واحدا وحالي في خدمتك سرمدا يا سيدي يا من عليه معولي يا من إليه شكوت أحوالي يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب قوي على خدمتك جوارحي واشدد على العزيمة جوانحي وهب لي الجد في خشيتك والدوام في الاتصال بخدمتك حتى أسرح إليك في ميادين السابقين وأسرع إليك في البارزين وأشتاق إلى قربك في المشتاقين وأدنو منك دنو المخلصين وأخافك مخافة الموقنين وأجتمع في جوارك مع المؤمنين اللهم ومن أرادني بسوء فأرده ومن كادني فكده واجعلني من أحسن عبيدك نصيبا عندك وأقربهم منزلة منك وأخصهم زلفة لديك فإنه لا ينال ذلك إلا بفضلك وجد لي بجودك واعطف علي بمجدك واحفظني برحمتك واجعل لساني بذكرك لهجا وقلبي بحبك متيما ومن علي بحسن إجابتك وأقلني عثرتي واغفر زلتي فإنك قضيت على عبادك بعبادتك وأمرتهم بدعائك وضمنت لهم الإجابة فإليك يا ربي نصبت وجهي وإليك يا ربي مددت يدي فبعزتك استجب لي دعائي وبلغني مناي ولا تقطع من فضلك رجائي واكفني شر الجن والإنس من أعدائي يا سريع الرضا يا سريع الرضا يا سريع الرضا اغفر لمن لا يملك إلا الدعاء فإنك فعال لما تشاء يا من اسمه دواء وذكره شفاء وطاعته غنى ارحم من رأس ماله الرجاء وسلاحه البكاء يا سابغ النعم يا ندافع النقم يا نور المستوحشين في الظلام يا عالما لا يعلم صل على محمد وآل محمد وافعل بنا ما أنت أهله وصلى الله على رسوله والأئمة الميامين من آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening the return of our Imam, let's recite الصلوات. Again, we'd like to express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and congratulate all the brothers and sisters on the occasion of the birth of our beloved Prophet and our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, salamullah alayhima wa alayhima. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us be of the followers and companions of that prophet and his household. Recite another salawat. One of the points to remember when we are reminded of our prophet and we want to celebrate the blessing of having our prophet on this material earth and in this material realm is the fact that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi is the one who has given us life. One of the terms that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran in regards to guidance and following guidance is for a person to be given life. لَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. Life. A pleasant life. حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. A pure life. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi has brought to us. This is what we owe the Prophet for. And what he has given us is this. He's brought us life. What happens is that sometimes when we are given a gift, when we are presented with a gift, when someone gives us something, we can, due to our deficiency in understanding what that is, undervalue or completely disregard the gift that has been given. We can easily do that. If something very expensive is given to us, but we have no clue what the value of that is on the market, to us it looks like just a piece of metal. For someone who, let's say, has no clue what gold is, or a better example, what platinum is. If you look at platinum and platinum rings, the ones at least I have seen, they don't look very valuable. If you know what the material is and how much that thing costs, you realize what the value of it is. But before you know that, if someone just gives it to you, you've never seen it before, you don't know what type of value it has, you think that they give you some metal ring, it's not gold, it's not silver, doesn't have the shine that those other metals have. Again, at least the ones I've seen. And so you misunderstand. Anyhow, this is an example. If you don't gather or if you don't comprehend or understand the importance of it, you're not going to take it seriously. We won't take it seriously, and therefore we won't appreciate that person as much. There's a lot that has been said, and we should say, in regards to our Prophet and loving our Prophet and how great he is and how much love we have, how much respect we have for him. But I think one of the most important ways of celebrating the existence of the Prophet, celebrating the gift of the Prophet, is to celebrate the giving of the Prophet and what it actually was. And the best way to do that is to take it on board. As Muslimin, generally, we do not value the gift that the Holy Prophet has given us. Generally, we don't. I'm not talking about this person or that person. When we look at the Muslim Ummah, Shia or Sunni, either way, we do not value what the Holy Prophet gave us. The greatness of the Prophet for us is what he has given us. The most important thing he has given us is that guidance, that is life. And the reason why it's called that is that that's what it is. We're not alive. We don't have life if we don't follow that teaching. We all understand the importance of oxygen. We understand the importance of water. We understand the importance of nutrients and how if our bodies don't get them, our bodies will not be able to survive. We understand all of that. That's very simple because it is something that is tangible and evident. Our material existence depends on it. When it comes to the teachings that the Holy Prophet has given us, we don't seem to, clearly, I'm not trying to like judge based on some mysterious or some high-level analysis. It's very basic. We don't implement the teachings. We don't look for the teachings. We don't spend time studying the teachings. We have no idea what's there. We've memorized a few lines of the history of the Prophet, a few lines of the sayings of the Prophet, a few lines of the Quran without understanding any of it. And part of what we have understood or memorized, not understood, in regards to the history of the Prophet, what he said, what he did, Some of it is completely misconstrued. This is not referring to Muslimin that are not Shia. I'm talking about mainly, the focus is on the Shias. What have we understood? What have we studied? What are we following? The reason why we're not following that, we're not looking for it, we're not spending time, we're not spending hours, daily, weekly, monthly, studying it. The reason why we're not panicking, oh my God, I don't have the nutrients to survive, is it because we don't see it in that way? We don't see this as life. We see that life goes on, we're perfectly fine. We call ourselves Muslim. I have access to the Quran. I read the Quran maybe once a blue moon. And that's it. What are the teachings of the Prophet? What is this Hayatun Tayyibah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted us with it. We don't value it, brothers and sisters. If we did, we wouldn't treat it that way, the way we are. The Holy Prophet gave us a way of life. A way of life that changes the way we look at things. We look at each other. The way we think of each other. For instance, I was having a class on the topic of Walatul Faqih. This is just an example. One of the questions that was raised was this. And it sounds like a legitimate question. It is. A lot of us have a legitimate question in the sense of it's something that comes to mind. And it's something that is not only something that comes to mind, but it is put forth to us. And it's repeated by certain people. And so it becomes a question for some of us. And that is, okay, if Walatul Faqih, we talk about it, we talk about Walatul Faqih not in an abstract and hypothetical situation. We're talking about a real situation here. We have a Waliul Faqih. So if we're talking about Walatul Faqih in the context that we're living in, and we're talking about the Waliul Faqih, this Waliul Faqih is in a particular country, and there's a system of people supporting that Waliul Faqih on paper. The way it happened with the current leader, these are representatives that were elected by Iranian people to look at whoever has the qualifications of leadership and to identify which of those matches the qualifications that the Imam of our time and the Ahlul Bayt have given us best. And to say, people, you guys put your trust in us to show you, based on our understanding, who the best is. This is the best person. This is how the system works. Okay. Well, how can we be certain that they actually go through all options? How can we be sure that they looked at scholars, jurists, mujtahideen, maraja that were outside the borders of Iran? Why wouldn't they, or why would we trust them in appointing the right person, even if they are not Iranian, if they're Afghan, if they're Pakistani, if they're Iraqi, if they're Lebanese, if they're from Qatif, from Ahsa, from Bahrain, from somewhere else? How can we trust them? How does this work? I said, brother or sister, obviously this person, whoever asked it, again, this is not something that is the first time we've heard that. But the point here is, did we look at what the Prophet said we need to do? Are we thinking the way the Prophet told us to think? Or are we thinking in the way that the enemies of the Prophet taught us to think? The Prophet brought the Quran. What does the Quran say? The Quran says, if they are mu'mineen, you should trust them. You should not be suspicious of them. Then why do you have suspicion? Why do I have suspicion? Why
Why do we have suspicion of the Iraqi people? We have suspicion of the Pakistani people. We have suspicion of the Afghan people. We have suspicion of the Lebanese people. We have suspicion in regards to Palestinians. We have suspicion in regards to Egyptians, Yemenis, and so on and so forth. We say the Pakistanis can't rule themselves. Their government is corrupt. There's this, that, the other. Afghanistan has all these problems. It's the Afghan people. They don't know how to do this. They don't know how. We have all these suspicions towards mu'mineen. And we have a whole lot of trust in the kuffar. If a quarter or less of what's been happening and being said about the current elections in this country, and if it had taken this long to identify who's actually won in the elections, they still have not gotten to it. I mean, you have, it's not rocket science. It's not very difficult to count votes, for God's sake. If a quarter of this would have happened in the Islamic Republic, in Iraq, the whole world would have been like, what type of democracy? It's all staged. It's rigged. It's this. It's that. Here, the president of the country, who is the ruler of the country, he is the current president of the country. The whole election is under him. He's saying our election is corrupt and we're not going to allow the election to be stolen. And the whole world still trusts this system. This is the democracy. This is this, that, the other. Nobody has an issue with it. Based on what? How do you say that? All the Muslimin that are saying, go participate. I voted all the time. Go look at the pictures. Facebook. Mu'mineen, those who call themselves speakers, scholars, whatever they want to call themselves, and they're not scholars, putting up their fingers. I voted. Well, shame on you, you voted. You did something wrong, and now you want to present it to the whole world? That shows you trusted this system. God says, don't trust them. You don't trust the mu'mineen. Ulama speak. Mujtahideen speak. Wali al-Faqih speaks. You don't trust them. You say, this guy is not from this country. That guy is not from our country. We don't trust this person. We don't trust that person. You trust this system? You go and participate in elections? How is this? Listening to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi has said. We don't look. It's not important to us. It's not important to us. Our thinking, this is hayat. This gives you life. Change the way you think. Based on what? Based on what the Prophet said. Think of people the way the Prophet said. People are either mu'mineen, you should trust them unless proven otherwise. They're kuffar. Kuffar in the sense of enemies of Islam. Those who are fighting knowingly, willingly, like the fara'ina. Like the pharaohs, like the pharaoh of today, this system, this establishment, the Zionists, these are examples of pharaohs. Don't ever trust them. They're Iblis himself. They're Iblis in flesh. They're shaitan. Don't trust. The Quran says, shaitan has considered you his enemy. You take him as your enemy. These people are shayateen. They're your enemies. They're waiting to stab you. You trust them? God says, mustadhafin, mustadhafin, help them. People who are lost, they're confused. People who are taught in church that they need to vote for Trump. Oh, that's a real mustadhaf, poor. People who are taught in the masjid to go and vote in this country, mustadhafin. In that sense, they're Muslimin, but unfortunately, what they're doing is very wrong. And the sin is a sin of those who propose that Islamically you're supposed to, and they encourage. The sin is theirs. The person who goes to the masjid, they're not mentally strong enough. Their intellectual skills and their information of Islam is not strong enough to be able to identify that this idiot who's telling you to vote in this country has no clue what Islam is. They're mustadhafin. You feel sorry for those who are told in church
Initially, we see that. Then we see Muslimin in the masjid are being told. Shia and Sunni, both ways. Vote. What system? Is this based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said? You celebrate the Prophet, you turn your back against his teachings. Somebody says something wrong in disrespect against the Prophet. You get angry at them, but you have no issue going exactly against what his sayings are or caring less. What type of respect is this? We care less about what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi has said. In regards to every, these are a few examples. The way we think, the way we speak, the way we walk, the way we work, the way we form families, the way we take care of families, the way we deal with our children, all of that. Where and when did we get that from the teachings of the Prophet and from Islam? I'm looking at Muslimin, forget about the others. What we do, the way we think, the way we treat each other, the way we treat our enemies, the way we treat our children, the way we treat our maraja. A lot of it is not in conformance. And none of this is to, we're not hopefully, sometimes not aware sometimes. God, inshallah, save us, save my tongue and my speech from this error that instead of making progress, that we cause digression, we cause loss of hope, we cause any of that. The point of this is not to take a stick with words and keep beating on Muslimin. That's not the idea. The idea is, brothers, sisters, this is our status quo. And wallah, wallah, the teachings of the Prophet will change our lives. Anyone. I've seen a lot of people throughout my life, and all of us have. I've had the privilege of being in a city and amongst people that some of the best of God's creation have been there. We've seen people up close, those who speak based on what the Quran says, hear based on what the Quran says, deal with family based on what the Quran says, deal with politics based on what the Quran says. We have seen what that person turns into. And wallah, you can say, if we aspire, just look into it and try to get to that. We will taste what Hayatun Tayyibah, the Quran says. The Holy Prophet brought us this great book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Out of all his creation, the one man who was capable of receiving this eternal message of the Quran is the blessed Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And the ones who've been blessed with the understanding of it and presenting its meanings are his Ahlul Bayt, his Itrah, his daughter and grandchildren and son-in-law and brother, Amirul Mu'mineen. If we take that, our lives will change. The way we feel about everything around us is going to be different. Wallah, the verse of the Quran says, Ala inna awliya Allah. To become awliya Allah is to go by those teachings. Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. There is nothing to worry about. There really isn't. But we are filled with worries. And how can you enjoy life when you're so worried? If we follow these, there is no worry. We've seen these people. There's no worry. Nothing. The worst of things to them, to their family, to the country they live in, to the politics, to the mu'mineen, anything that happens. Some of the greatest scenes, Imam Khomeini is one of those. I didn't have the opportunity to spend time with Imam Khomeini, but these are recorded by people who saw and experienced. Two things in regards to ideas that should cause the whole country to be worried, much less the ruler, The one that knows most should be more concerned based on material standards. So when a war begins, you just established a government. Now you have your neighbor, Saddam, is attacking. Jets in the city of Tehran, the first day, the way that people in Tehran came to know that there is war is that Tehran, the capital, was bombed by Saddam. The first day of the war, this is what happened. According to people in Tehran, things had started on the border, but when it was officially, what is this? They ran to Imam Khomeini. He was about to begin his prayer. He said, oh, they bombed this, that, the other. He's like, oh, Jangas, Allahu Akbar. It's war, Allahu Akbar. How can you just say, it's war, Allahu Akbar, you start your prayer? Running, panicking, find something. What the heck are we doing? Do we have? There is no military in place. The person who's leading in terms of the president in the country is someone that is collaborating with the West. Collaborating with the Munafiqin, collaborating with Saddam, Bani Saad, La'anatullah alayhi, is France that claims that they want to have cartoons depicting the Prophet as the Prophet of Terror. Amongst other cartoons, they're the ones who are the greatest supporters, the worst supporters of terror in the world are these guys. If you have an idea of what 17,000 innocent people, besides all the officials, call those officials leaders of whatever you want. These are average Iranian people, 17,000 people. Just randomly on the street, they just pick someone who look religious, just shoot them, fill them with bullets. Explosions, 17,000 people. This is what the so-called Mujahideen al-Khalq are. Where is their base? Where is Maryam Rajavi? Where did Mas'ud Rajavi go? Paris. This Bani Saad that caused the killing, if Saddam was able to invade, it's because Bani Saad, the first president, did not allow people to go and defend, did not supply them with what they had to defend themselves. Where did Bani Saad escape to? Paris, France. The French are giving them asylum. You talk about an ideology that is an ideology of terror and terrorism. You are terrorists. Your ideology, Daesh comes from you. Al-Qaeda comes from you. The same way that this particular terrorist organization that for 40 years they planted bombs in the shrine of Imam al-Ridha before Samarra. If you don't know your history, go and look at it. In the 90s, 94, 95, if I remember correctly. 1994, 95. They put a huge bomb in the shrine of Imam al-Ridha. The pieces of these mu'mineen that had come to for the ziyarah of Imam al-Ridha is being taken out of this wall, that ceiling. Pieces of the bodies, flesh of mu'mineen, children, women, everybody. Who's supporting them? The French are. We should celebrate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, not by only when these people put out such cartoons that we know they're wrong, that we show our rage and anger against the injustice, but to also take those teachings on board. حَيَاتٌ طَيِّبَةٌ that it gives. لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَهُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ War begins, a person that is at the top, everything is on his shoulders. Peace, tranquility. Oh, جَنْجَسْ Allahu Akbar. Or Ayatollah Khamenei says that the first couple of days when the Iranian Air Force went and got involved in the war, they brought the data, what, how many jets they have and how much equipment. These fighter jets require a lot of maintenance. You have different parts that need to be changed after every few flights. And there's a routine for that. And they said, this is what we have. These are the jets. These are the parts. And based on all that data, we can only fly these planes for maximum maybe a month. Some of them. The C-130, Hercules C-130, if I remember correctly, that was going to last them for about a month based on that data. Ayatollah Khamenei says, it was really concerning. I took that data to Imam Khomeini and said, you know, this is what they're telling me. He said, tell them to fight. Don't worry. Keep going. And he said, by the grace of God, until the last day of the war and up to today, those jets were flying. And they were able to defend the country in ways that Saddam, who had many more jets, more modern than what the Islamic Republic had, more pilots, more data, more intelligence, they weren't able to. But when this is brought to you, something that should cause you to break down, you have nothing materially, everything is out of your control, out of your reach. You don't have access to anything. War begins. They bring you this type of information. The peace and tranquility. This is a very high level. اطمئنان النفس. And it shows what wilayatullah can cause a person. How does a person get to that? The teachings of the Prophet. It's not by birth. It's not this person's mother did this when the person... No, that person has got to do that. You and I all have a chance, an opportunity. The only way, and there is no other way, and there's no other secret, and it's not about where you're born and who your parents are. It's none of that. It's right there, the Qur'an, the book that the Prophet delivered to us, the teachings that the Prophet delivered to us. Follow that. Every single one of us has the potential to be one of the awliyaullah. That la khawfun alayhum wa lahum yahzanun. We have hayatun tayyiba on earth. This is the value of this book and the teachings of the Prophet, brothers and sisters. As mu'mineen, as Muslims, we accept it. We say we accept it, but we need to take more steps. Many more steps. Discover the meanings. Implement them. When we see shortcomings, to ask for forgiveness. Try again. Keep trying. As individuals, help the community. And inshallah, we reach a stage where we see that the leaders of the earth are the companions of the 12th Imam, and the leader of the world, the true leader of the world, has returned from his ghaiba, otherwise he's present, from his occultation, that we see the direction of the globe is moving towards hayatun tayyiba, not as this individual or that individual, all people. And that will be Jannah on earth. That will be Jannah on earth. Jannah is not the streams and the trees. It's the believers with hayatun tayyibah. All the other stuff is because of the greatness of the believers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings. But the most enjoyable thing is the believers themselves. That's what causes Jannah. That's what is beautiful about Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of the Ahlul Bayt that He hastens the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us become His true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to embark on this journey and reach that hayatun tayyibah. We ask Allah to help all those who are helping His cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins. Forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us and all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests. We ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the pandemic that we're facing, the difficult conditions that have been caused due to that. Illnesses are from You, and the cures are from You, and we know You have a cure. We ask You to grant it to us and relieve and grant the believers the knowledge of that cure first, so that they can give it to more people, inshallah, throughout the globe. We ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabiya wa Ali.